Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all our listeners. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mudiwa Kabaza, and for today, because it is a Friday, as always, we are looking back at the week in economics, just looking at business activity, just looking at how the economy has performed. And this week is quite interesting and quite significant because South Africa has opened itself up, you know, as part of the phased reopening of the economy. As from Monday, that was the 1st of June, South Africa moved from level 4 to level 3 of the lockdown. And we're going to be just talking a little bit about some of the initial, you know, reactions and just initial movements around that. And to help us unpack some of those issues, we are joined by Mielani Maluleke, who is an economist at APSA, a corporate and investment banking. Mielani, how are you? And I guess for you, how has it been being an economist, tracking things throughout what many have always been describing as unprecedented times?
Yes, thank you very much for having me on the program today. Look, I just like to say that I think it's been very challenging for all of us as analysts, you know, trying to sort of understand what sort of economic implications that this COVID-19 could mean, you know, not just for the short term, but also trying to think about how could actually reconfigure the global economy many years from now. And of course, I think from an analyst perspective, one of the challenges that we've had in the recent past in terms of trying to understand what is happening in the economy given this unprecedented shock is just the lack of data. Because as you know, here in South Africa, the Stats SA office, which is the authority for a lot of the economic releases that we rely on, has had some challenges of its own in terms of compiling some of the data that we need. I mean, as an example, in ordinarily this week we would have seen the first quarter GDP figures, but as we know now, those have been postponed, and a lot of some of the high frequency releases that we would need actually to get a sense of what's happening to the economy have also been postponed. But there are a few other things that we've been trying to sort of follow. I don't think that they tell us the full story of the state of the economy right now, but I think they do give us sort of a partial window into what is happening and to also help us to understand a couple of things. One, how big the impact of the hard lockdown that we had in April was, and secondly, how the economy is responding as some of those lockdown restrictions are relaxed. So we've put together on our side an economic activity tracker, which looks at some of these high frequency data that I'm talking about. So just to give you an example, in that activity tracker, we do look at things like the regular PMIs, and we have now seen the manufacturing PMI for May. We have seen the economy wide PMI for May as well. And I have to say that the signals that we got from those two PMIs were a little bit confusing in a way. So the APSA manufacturing PMI, and more specifically the business activity sub index of that PMI, does suggest that there was actually quite a bit of a rebound in business activity in May, when many of the restrictions in the manufacturing sector were released. That particular sub-index increased from an all-time low in April of 5.1 to 43.2 in May, which is an encouraging signal. But what we've seen actually from the market PMI is that activity continued to deteriorate in May, which is a little bit surprising in a way, because that particular PMI continued to decline I think from about 35 in April to about 32 in May. So suggesting some conflicting signals that are coming through from that. But one other thing that we have also been trying to follow, just to get a broad indication of what is happening to economic activity, is electricity demand, which we do get from Eskom's weekly status updates. And I have to say that on that front, things have actually been a little bit encouraging. On a week-on-week basis, we've actually seen electricity demand continue to improve for most of May. And actually, if you look at data in the week of the 18th to the 24th of May, what we actually see is that electricity demand in that week was about 26% higher than where it was at its weakest level in April. So there are some conflicting signals that are coming through from the data, but I think in general, particularly when we also look at, I think I excluded car sales. When you look at car sales as well, it does look like there was some improvement in economic activity in May when lockdown restrictions were relaxed. And I think we'll just have to wait and see when we get some of the data over the coming weeks to get a sense of whether that improvement continues now that we are at level three.
I guess, one of the interesting ones for us, because I do understand, that issue of the lack of economic data and the fact that you sort of have to become creative in how you sort of monitor things. And you guys have always had, APSA's PMI and, things like that. It's always been one of the, ones that's been, closely followed by a lot of people, and it's, widely reported on. In terms of putting together, your activity tracker now, right? Do you perhaps think this might help you guys to perhaps improve, I guess, the usual way of doing things? Because this adaptation, do you think it's going to be like one of those fundamental changes where we no longer have to be up relying on that quarterly data anymore? That because of, these things, I think you did mention at the start of the conversation that it doesn't give a full picture. But do you think that this crisis has actually forced economists and analysts like yourself to actually come up with new ways of measuring things, that going forward we may no longer be relying so much on some of the usual data sets that Stats SA tends to provide?
Yeah, I think that's a really good point you raise. So part of the challenge with the traditional data sets that we've relied on in the past is that, they tend to come with a bit of a lag. So for instance, as I've indicated, ordinarily we only would have seen the first quarter GDP numbers now, whereas of course the first quarter ended a very long time ago. But which is fine, I think, when you're in an environment where things are not necessarily changing very, very quickly. But when you're in an environment where you have been hit by a shock as big as the one that's hit us right now, and things are changing very quickly, these long lags in data releases make a lot of those data releases very bad, and unfortunately make them render them very meaningless in a way, I think, in terms of trying to provide a forward-looking view for what the economy could look like. So I think you're definitely going to see more of a shift where people try to rely on alternative data sets, things that we didn't look at before, but data sets that are a bit more high frequency, that are a bit more timely, and give us a more real time indication of what's going on. I mean, just as an example, one of the things that we have also been trying to follow is data that Google has recently started to make public, in terms of people's movements around the country to various places, be it workspaces, retail and recreation, grocery stores, etc. And that gives you an indication, a timely indication of what's actually happening in those spaces. You know, even though you don't really see the actual spending, you do get a broad and quick sense of whether things are improving quickly or not.
And actually, on that Google data, I've actually, perhaps seen one or two people, making mention of it. I think perhaps towards the start of level five, I remember seeing a presentation, movement data from Google, and how soon after the lockdown, there was very little activity, movement, people at home, all of that stuff. And one of the things that's always interesting is how people draw sort of different insights from the same data set. Just given, what Google is showing you guys in terms of movements, what are you perhaps seeing on the ground? Because, for example, we all expected that from Monday that about 8 million other people are going to be getting back to work. And, from an activity point of view, I would have expected that from Monday, we're back into traffic. And, some of those things. But from what you guys are gathering, what are you seeing?
Yeah, so I think the data are useful, but I think they've got their limitations in a way. So to give you an example, a person who's going to a store, purchasing goods worth 100 rands, and another person going to a store purchasing goods worth 1,000 rands. He said those are essentially the same in as far as the Google data are concerned. But of course, from an economic impact perspective, there is a very big difference between those two individuals at that time. So there's that limitation, and I think we all kind of accept that. But what I think we're trying to get from the Google data is just a broad sense of whether people's movements to these various places is picking up or not. And interestingly, what you see when you look at people's movements to retail as an example, and more specifically grocery stores, you actually, when you look at it from say the middle of March, when we declared the national state of disaster, going towards the end of March, when the hard lockdown started, you can actually see that before the hard lockdown started, there was a sharp increase in people's movements to grocery stores. But when the hard lockdown kicked in, a lot of that activity fell off. And when we moved to level four at the start of May, we have started to see some of that activity begin to improve a little bit. Again, we haven't seen the data for early June as yet. I think we're going to get that in about a week or so, and it'll be interesting to see. But one thing I would say is that, I think we should be a little bit cautious to think that things will just continue to improve or in line with what the lockdown restrictions actually allow, because there is still the fundamental problem of the health aspect of this crisis, where we've actually now started to see number of confirmed cases starting to rise quite rapidly over these last few weeks. So I think the fear factor may actually remain quite strong from consumers, where people may think, look, it's not safe to go out there. And even though the restrictions have been relaxed, you may actually see people, doing a little bit more self-restraint going forward. But I think those are things we'll probably only be able to glean from the data as time progresses.
And then one of the other ones is, I guess, given what you guys do and perhaps your placement in the bank, APSA is a big banking group with different divisions. But as an economist, I guess, how have the conversations perhaps changed with either clients or I guess internally, and the things that they are concerned about, you know, from an economic point of view, because it is business unusual. So how have you found the evolution of some of those discussions and, you know, the concerns, the things that people are now worried about versus, you know, what typically would have been the conversation pre-COVID?
Yeah, look, I think, you know, the discussion pre-COVID here in South Africa was really mostly about, you know, how do we navigate this low growth environment that we've had here in South Africa for a very long time. I mean, as you know, you're aware, if you look at South Africa's growth over the last half a decade, you know, we've only really managed to see about 1% on average per annum at a time where the global economy was doing about 3%. So at that time, I mean, before COVID, a lot of the discussion was around, you know, how do we navigate this low growth and environment. And I think from a policy perspective, some of the discussions were around, you know, what sort of structural reforms South Africa could introduce, you know, to try move South Africa, try change South Africa's growth path over the medium term. But in the current environment, a lot of the discussions, you know, are around just how bad can things get? You know, how big is the effect of this thing is going to be? And how do we navigate that uncertainty? You know, not just in terms of what the short-term impact could be, but also how COVID could actually restructure the South African economy in the long run as well. So a lot of the discussion is around navigating that uncertainty and trying to understand what the long-run story may look like for South Africa.
Okay. And then The other one, I guess, is an easy the data point to sort of track, because it's for everyone to see and it never switches off, is the Rand, which, you know, in the last couple of weeks has actually been trying to recover some of the losses of the last 2 months or so. You know, without getting too technical, should we be excited, you know, that things are headed in the right direction, or, you know, should we just be cautiously optimistic, and just hope and pray that it never goes back to that 19 level?
Yeah, look, I think we should always be cautious. And the reason we should be cautious is that we're living in very uncertain times. So you know, you could see a big change in global risk sentiment that introduces you know, the high degree of volatility in financial markets. So things could change very quickly. But our view on the Rand, you know, it's been for some time now that you know, if you look at what happened after Moody's downgraded us, you know, when the world bond index rebalancing took place, et cetera, to us it just looked like some of those moves were overdone a little bit, and we've actually been arguing that there is some scope for the Rand to recover. If you look at its valuation from current levels, in our view, even at current levels, it's actually still looking a little bit undervalued. So we think there actually is scope for it to come back even more against the US dollar. But the challenge, of course, for us going forward, especially in terms of expecting continued strength, is that we've got very weak macro fundamentals. And I think eventually those are going to come back into focus, because as we know, on the 24th of this month, we're going to get the finance minister presenting that adjustment budget. So factors like those, I think, will be critical for investors in trying to understand what South Africa's future might look like in terms of its growth, in terms of its fiscal outlook, and we could see those sort of coming back into play for the rand as well.
Okay, and coming back to this issue of the data points that you were talking about earlier on, and how you're seeing, you know, things happening on the ground. Going forward, one of the big sort of adjustments that had to be made to cope with this crisis was that 500 billion rand stimulus package that was announced by the government. On a practical level, you know, over the next maybe 6 to 12 months, where are we likely to see the actual impact of that stimulus actually coming through? Do you think it's one of those things that will keep consumer spending, you know, relatively stable, or is it one of those things that on aggregate will see us perhaps reducing the country's fiscal position on the whole? You know, where do you see that playing?
Yeah, so I think, you know, to sort of understand where the impact could really be, we kind of have to look at the structure of that stimulus, 500 billion rand, which I think some people seem to have understood to mean that, you know, government expenditure is going to increase by that much. But that's not really the case, because we know that 200 billion rand of that stimulus is the credit guarantee scheme that is basically providing a backstop to commercial banks to provide loans to businesses. So that part of the stimulus is not going directly into government spending. And then 130 billion rand of that stimulus is reprioritization of expenditure. So there's money that's being cut on other programs and is being shifted towards the more urgent you know, needs that have been created by this COVID-19 crisis. So if you look at, you try to account for many of those factors, what you end up realizing is that the net increase in spending is actually not as much as what the aggregate or advertised stimulus figure sort of really is. Does it help in the short term? I think absolutely, because as we know, there is an uplift in social grants worth about 50 billion rand. But we also know that all of that has to be rescinded from October. So it's short-term support. I don't think it's stimulus in the classical sense of that word. And what we should be concerned about as well is that in an economy that is likely to contract by close to 10%, in our view, the impact of job losses, of income losses, could actually more than offset some of those support measures that are going to come in as a result of this government support package.
Before we sort of go off, as APSA, you guys operate in a number of countries. How is South Africa doing, I guess, compared to the rest of its either African counterparts or emerging market counterparts, albeit with limited data on hand? But, you know, from where you see things, how are we doing?
Yeah, so look, I mean, the challenge for South Africa, of course, is that, you know, it was in a very weak position before the COVID-19 shock arrived, and I think as a result of this, we're going to see a big contraction in this year's GDP without a doubt. But outside of South Africa, and I think now starting to think about the rest of the region, I think those markets are probably also likely to shrink this year. We haven't really seen much in the way of data, but we do expect some shrinking, but just not to the magnitude of what we're likely to see in South Africa this year.
Right. On a last point, what are you actually hopeful about? I think, you know, over the last couple of weeks, we There's been a lot of doom and gloom around the economy, whether it's been in South Africa or I guess global markets as a whole. But are there any bright shoots? Are you hopeful about anything, or is it just bleak across the board from your vantage point?
Yeah, look, I think for me, one of the things that I'm a little bit hopeful about with respect to the South Africa outlook is that we're getting from policymakers that the discussion around trying to reimagine South Africa beyond COVID-19 is very much there. The discussion about what sorts of structural reforms we should be putting in place to accelerate the recovery beyond 2020 is still very much there. I mean, we've seen this week, some interesting discussions coming out in the papers about possible involvement of the private sector in terms of driving infrastructure development going forward. So there's a lot of those kinds of discussions that are taking place, and I think for me it does give me some comfort that policymakers are not only trying to do their best to shield the economy, to shield South Africans from this COVID-19, but they are also spending a little bit of time trying to reimagine South Africa beyond this crisis as well.
Okay, so that's been us. A very interesting discussion there, just around what's going on in and around the South African economy, with Mielani Maluleke, who is an economist at Absa Corporate and Investment Banking. He was just, running us through what's going on in the economy, especially as we have moved from level 4 to level 3 of the economy, and he was just highlighting the fact that economic data has been hard to come by, but there are certain data sets that they have started looking at, perhaps as a proxy to see what economic activity is looking like, but also as a way to perhaps get faster releases of data. They're looking at what's going on with Eskom, that brings out some of its data together with data that comes out from Google, just as a way to put together their economic activity tracker. And he's just also just saying that there are movements on that end indicating that things are moving in the right direction, but he just warns that we always need to stay cautious about some of these expectations and some of these outlooks. Also just talking about the fact that when we look at some of the weakness in the rand that has been experienced in the last 2 months, perhaps there might have been a bit of an overreaction, and that at current levels there may be some room to strengthen to actually get it back to its fair value levels. So that's been it. Thank you so much to Mielani for perhaps joining us. Mielani, I don't know, is there a way that people can perhaps engage with you guys, or perhaps continue the conversation?
Yes, look, we are based at Absa CIB, so for anyone looking to reach out to the Absa research team, our contact details are available on the Absa CIB website, and we are certainly happy to continue to engage on what we're seeing from our side and to share our views.
Okay, so you heard it right there. Engage with them through the Absa CIB website, or you can actually go there. That's where he said they are based, but otherwise their contact details, as he said, are available on their website.
This is Mudiwa's Take.
Yet another fruitful discussion today. Thank you so much to Mielani for just, taking his time to talk to us. One of the themes, which I think is very important that's come out this week, particularly, looking back and reflecting on the earlier conversation we had this week with Chris Holdsworth at Investec Wealth and Investment, and then now I'm hearing from, Mielani at apps of corporate and investment banking is this issue of you know, the high frequency measures of economic activity. It's a common theme that's come out in the two discussions, and I think going forward, it's definitely something that's going to be important to keep an eye on. And I personally think that COVID-19 and its ensuing crisis has actually presented the economics fraternity and, you know, anyone who puts together economic data or tracks some of this activity. It's given us a good opportunity. It's a moment to perhaps revamp the way that economic reporting is done. In the past, we've actually spoken to other parties like BankServe, which has its payments data that comes out sort of on a monthly basis, you know, just as a faster way to, you know, to have a gauge or take a pulse of the economy. And I think in a crisis like this, it highlights the need to perhaps move away from relying on some of those older data sets that are backward looking over a longer period, and have, you know, pieces of data that can, you know, perhaps track activity on a monthly, on a weekly, and in some cases even on a day-by-day basis. So I think it's a good moment that the economics fraternity has at hand, and I think this might fundamentally change some of the pieces of data that we actually keep an eye on, in addition to PMI data, consumer inflation numbers, consumer confidence indexes, and the like. I think we're going to start seeing more of the shorter term data sets coming out, you know, where we'll be talking about, yes, this week, you know, X happened and we've seen the needle moving on this issue, or we've actually seen, you know, a slight improvement on perhaps consumer spending here, or perhaps, you know, business activity on the export front there. So good opportunity to rework the system. And like I said, going forward, we will likely start paying attention to different numbers and start having numbers that actually can, you know, give us a better sense, because one of the things that's being highlighted in all discussions is that this doesn't always give a true reflection or accurate picture. But as people, you know, develop these systems a bit more and perhaps put a little bit more data inside these things, it may become a more robust way of measuring economic activity. So that's us for today. Remember that you can find our latest podcast on Business Live. That's under the Podcast Business Day Spotlight tab. And then on Twitter, we're #BDSpotlight. And then remember that you can also review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. Thank you to our amazing team. Our producer is Paige Amola. I've been Mudiwa Gabaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail, and this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So for myself and the rest of the team, it is good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.